heard a lot about Atomic Dark Matter and this is the overview of my talk. I'll just briefly mention what's Mirror Twin Higgs, and I'll just show a hierarchy problem, and I'll talk about some cosmological constraints in Mirror Twin Higgs and how we can resolve it and how it's been done in the literature.
You know, the quadratic dependence comes from the top quark running in the loop, and the most common way of solving this throughout history was things like supersymmetry that require color top partners, but those are excluded up to scales of 1 TeV. So usually people went on and kind of looked for models that don't require color partner, and therefore the notion of neutral naturalness. And one of the kind of prime examples of neutral naturalness is in mirror twin Higgs models, where you kind of introduce a hidden sector that's related to our sector by a Z2 symmetry. And because we know how our Higgs decay to, we know that so far our Higgs that we observe in LHC is about 70% behave like Higgs A, we would need some source of sub Z2 breaking. And it's done so by making a VEV of the Higgs in the B sector have a higher VEV. And diagrammatically, the cancellation of the top loops looks something like that. However, original mirror twin Higgs is not realized in nature because simple calculations show the delta n effective would be around 6, where the current CME bound is like 0.23. And there are potential solutions to this. One of the kind of first solutions was this thing called fraternal Higgs, where they introduce hard Z2 breaking. You make a copy only of the third generation of particles from the standard model. Or there was another solution proposed by Chaco and friends in 2016 called asymmetric reheating. And this is the kind of model that we're going to extend to include baryogenesis. Basically, the story of asymmetric reheating is you require some particles n that are live outside of standard model, came to dominate universe at some early times, and then decay asymmetrically to two sectors A and B, reheating sector A much more than B, and like that, it allows you to avoid delta n effective bounds. So it's of note to say that n decays via weak interactions and dominated to standard model sector. And the cosmology of that looks like something like this. Here you have two sectors that are in equilibrium. At some point, this n starts to dominate energy density of the universe. It decays at some time after temperature fell on after two sectors decouple, which happens around 3 GeV. And it reheats A sector much bigger than B sector. In standard paper, the thing was the asymmetric part comes from the fact that degrees of freedom in the B sector are much heavier, so some decays are suppressed by phase space factors. And this is the plot that shows the delta and effective bounds as a mass, as a reheating temperature in the A sector, and the mass of this N1 that we'll call reheaton. And we see here that we are of interest in our model, of interest is the region of few hundred GeV. And we see that you can avoid the delta and effective bounds from this. Just to point out, we will later on associate N1 with right-handed neutrinos. And in order to, and in the original model, right-handed neutrinos give the mass to our standard model neutrinos to a CISO mechanism. And for these light neutrinos, you need a small Y1s and a lightest neutrino to be very, very light, effectively massless. So that's kind of a, we are accepting the fact that that's potentially true. And now I want to point out the blue region, which kind of came we have a kind of a model-independent conclusion here. So basically, this dark sector would have kind of similar physics as our sector with these parameters. And we kind of, the blue region is a kind of interest region. For these small delta and effectives, all the atomic dark matter would be twin helium. And there's been papers studying what this would do with direct detection experiments for dark matter. And for that, you can read for more about on this paper. So it's kind of interesting that that scenario is realized in all of this blue region. However, for our purposes, in our model, the twin BBM process proceeds normally. And we will be focused in this white region above. So how we extend this model? So we had this model of n. We introduce a color scalar that couples to n and q. So we evaluate a barrier number, and we kind of have a freedom of choice between hypercharge 2/3 and minus 1/3. To generate CP violation, we at least need two generations of right-hand neutrinos. And then we calculate CP violation like standard, how you would do per se in like a leptogenesis models. And you can convert this to a baryon asymmetry through that. And basically, our predictions will be the fractions of atomic dark matter we get, and is given by this ratio. I want to know that the ratio of proton masses in B and A sector is calculated in papers. It's usually done by comparing the confinement scales. So we did two. The initial idea was, let's make the simplest thing. We have some color scalar, and it couples with equal strength to all the quarks. However, it turns out this is very constrained. You're introducing couplings to light quarks. It causes problems with proton decay. Phi will have to be light in this scenario between sub-TV. Again, goes against neutral naturalness. And there is a band that LHC hasn't fully excluded between phi 20 and phi 80 GeV. But it's kind of like, it was a kind of a dead end. There are some parts of parameter space where it works, but it's not, it's very disfavored. So we kind of put our thinking heads back on, and we start kind of thinking about other models, other possible scenarios, and we came up with the topophilic coupling. So basically, you're mostly coupling to the third generation quarks. The Lagrangian is given. And this allows to relax the proton bounds I was talking about, allows to make phi heavier than 1 TeV. It actually, we are considering models where we can make phi even much heavier and kind of hint at UV completions. And I'll maybe, if I have time, briefly mention that. And also what we need is that N1 and N2 are nearly degenerate. And for this model to actually work, we need N1 and N2 to have exact mass difference that would be generated with as a radiative corrections in this model. And basically how the baryogenesis proceeds, in A sector you have a three-level diagram interfering with one loop diagram. Note here that the Higgs is running in the loop. The reason for that is that N1 is lighter than phi here. So the imaginary, if the phi was running in the loop, the imaginary part of the loop would vanish. So it wouldn't generate any epsilon CPV. In B sector, we have just two body decay. Also, one more thing. This is a phi A. In A sector, we're introducing two color scalar, one color scalar for our QCD and one color scalar for the B QCD in the hidden sector. So this would be phi B. And this is, again, phi B. And know that there will be some mass scale difference between phi and phi b. And these are the plots we obtained. So basically, we require that the coupling of the coupling between phi q and n is such that the decays are subdominant compared to the weak decay, so it doesn't interfere with our asymmetric reheating picture. So this is the blue line is the bound that you get the maximum lambda 1 that allows you to make enough standard model baryogenesis without violating that bound. And basically, the red dashed line are just the different lambda 1 contours. Lambda 2 is a same coupling, but for the second right-hand neutrino. And this is the difference of the thing. And this is the peak of the resonant enhancement you get from the N1 and N2 being close in mass. And then for this point over here, we can plot actually the atomic dark matter fraction that we obtain. So we see that we obtain, we changed a bunch of these parameters, but for these parameters over here, this is the prediction for atomic dark matter we get, which is very well motivated for cosmological search for atomic dark matter. We know that these kind of fractions allow you to, some people claim that they can allow you to solve, resolve problems of like H0 and S8. And just one outlook that we have, so we had a lot of problems kind of figuring this out, what all the couplings and stuff, and there is a huge discussion in our paper about it. But we wonder what happens if we have weak decays. We don't have asymmetric heat through weak decays, but the asymmetric heat is also done from the decays through the colored scalar. And we've seen, just like this is a preliminary plot, but we can see that you can get some between 0.1 and 1 fractions of atomic dark matter for M5b of 5 TeV and MHb of 1 TeV for different F over Vs. There's the ratios of Fs. And it's quite interesting because you can kind of hint at potential UV supersymmetric UV completion of this such model. So I'll leave the conclusions here, and thank you for listening, and please, questions.
Question.
Yes.
So you mentioned delta effective, like, can you expand on how exactly, so is it like you shift the BAO? What happens in this scenario? Delta?
Sorry?
What happens to delta effective? Could you like say it again?
Oh, basically, because you're asymmetrically reheating two sectors, B will be much cooler than A sector, and like that, the light degrees of freedom in the B sector will not add to your delta N effective calculation, and then you can suppress, avoid the bounds from CMB. It's just the temperature of two sectors will be different because after 3 GV, there is only one portal between these two sectors, and it's a Higgs portal. So you have Higgs A and Higgs B in two sectors, and they talk. But that portal kind of closes after 3 GV. So if you decay after that, they don't equilibrate anymore, and delta N effective just, you reduce the temperature of B compared to A, and then delta N effective just, you satisfy the bound.
Can you just explain again, what is the dial, like,
two
dials that are
medium fraction? Oh, yeah. So basically, you can change. So here, the black contours are given the ADM fractions. You can tune anything. You can do phi. You can change the mass of phi A. You can change of phi B. T Higgins, you can change lambda prime, which is a coupling of phi to QQ. You can change F over V, so you can, in our paper, we have a huge, like, 30 plots of different.
Is there, like, a particular combination parameter that you think of as driving toward higher fraction?
Yes. I don't remember from the top of my head, but in the paper, it's all there, right? Yeah.
Can I have another question? How many intermediate events do you will need to rule out something like here? It's like you will have the same thing the other side, a little bit less, but you have like 1,000 neutron stars. Then your BEF, what is the difference between the BEFs?
It's so the ratio is order like 5, 10.
Okay,
so this is 7, for example.
Okay, so all these lobby numbers are going to be different. So do you see that? Or like the right?
So
you will have different mass of the protons. And
yes, neutrons. Yes.
So you will have a different, I don't know, like how the computation people look, it's in the log numbers, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe you're going to look a little bit different. So
yeah.
I guess you will need a lot of.
So there is a.
Events that maybe one of those are going to be neutron events or something like that. Or have you talked about this?
Oh, I haven't really thought about it, no. But there is a direct scaling of how protons in A and B sector depend on these F over V. It's a sum, a log dependence. People computed this from like confinement scales. That's been done and people know. And I guess you can just kind of model it to that. Because it will only depend on F over V.
Yeah, Magnus, so how do you make the decay asymmetric again?
Oh. For asymmetric reheating or for baryogenesis? Okay, so for asymmetric reheating, the B sector will be, all the particles will be heavier by factor of F over V. So if you think about it, like W boson in B sector is like, so for F over V of 5 is 400. So say like if your N is like 300, it would be 3 body decay in A sector, but it would be 2 body decay in in B sector, it would be a three body, and in A sector, it would be two. So you already have a phase-based suppression.
Yeah.
So that's for asymmetric reheating. We did not change that picture. We focus on the scenario when we don't change that picture with introducing this. And for the CP violation, we have a three-body decay in A sector. And that's why, because it's a three-body, it's very suppressed. Couplings have to be of very particular order. That's why we need to go to this resonant kind of baryogenesis regime. Whereas in this sector, you have a two-body decay. So that allows you to kind of make asymmetry there. And to get the CP violation, you just the CP violation just interference of these two diagrams. You just compute like gamma goes to Q plus X minus gamma goes Q bar plus X bar over total decay width.
Once again.